Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many people want to go in the rapture? Can I see your hand up? Eh? Everybody. I want to prove something to you today. Listen, church. There's a great mystery that is going on now. The rapture has started. I'll prove it to you today. Praise the Lord. The rapture has started. And people are still playing religion. Yes, people are still playing religion. And God is doing it in His own way. I'm going to, say some things. I know some people, it may not be for you, but it may be for somebody. See, our television program is exciting the whole world. They are for the first time hearing things they have not heard before. They are hearing things they have not heard before. And we are having a lot of responses. A lot of responses. Let me just read this out. One or two of the testimonies, responses that we receive. This, praise God. This, incidentally, this person is from the Lord's Chosen Church. Is watching us from Enugu, from Lord Chosen Church. And this is what he said. He said, Calvary greetings. I just listened to a message titled The Mystery of Iniquity, The Doctrine of the Serpent Seed. It's a From the Bride's Cable, preached by one of God's choicest servants in these latter times, when the doctrine of godliness has disappeared from almost all the Pentecostal pulpits, thereby allowing the satanic doctrine of faith, prosperity, deliverance, eternal security, and empty faith confessions of God's promises without purity in the heart of the claimant. Wow! Thank God for the unusual way He is using you to open our eyes to uncommon mysteries and foundational truths of the Christian faith. And even of this rare revelational message on the mystery of iniquity. I must sincerely confess that this message is the best I have listened to since I was converted in May 14, 2002. Because little did I know all this while that it wasn't a fruit she ate, but it was actually sex the serpent had with her, and thereby producing Cain as her first fruit, who had the corrupted seed of the serpent. Subsequently, the seed of the serpent was manifested in the lives of the Pharisees and Sadducees with the same old serpentine nature in Cain, and that is killing Abel and Jesus, which you trace to John 8:39-47 and 1 John 3:12 and so on. Thank you for all these great revelational teachings and even causing me to understand better the ministry of William Branham, as it has knocked out the lies peddled by other ignorant servants that he went into errors. Please continue to hold on to true words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. Thanks a lot. I pray that when the role is called up yonder, may all of you be there. Remain blessed and rapturable. From Benjamin Onyeka, the Lord Chosen Charismatic Revival Movement, Enugu, I love you all. Shalom. Hallelujah. And we have another one again here. Ben Obika from Ibadan. He sent this. in an email to us. It says, "Dear Pastor Alu, I D Lawon, in my former church at Ashibashoru Ibadan, sermonized that Pastor William Branham's birth was prophesied. He was mightily used by God to the extent that when Branham was ministering from the altar, supernatural oil used to drop from his hand. Whoever from the congregation that touched the oil was automatically healed of any debilitating sickness, disease. We were informed that Pastor Branham was warned not to vie into teaching ministry, but to continue with his prophetic ministry. Branham bluntly refused, leading him to go into error. One, he heretically taught his congregation that he was that Elijah to come." That is the teaching that somebody taught them in Ibadan. "Two, that he will not die." But in December 18, 1965, Pastor Branham was knocked dead by a drunken truck driver. The church refused to bury him, waiting for him to come alive. When their hope was dashed, the church was compelled to bury him. Viewing the bride cable, Pastor Alu so much talked about and praised Branham as a mentor that mentored men of God like Oral Roberts, that my elder son posited, "Daddy, Pastor Branham died in the Lord. I believe you, Pastor Alu, but how can I have or purchase William Branham's pamphlets or books? I love Pride Assembly Church. Your messages are truthfully raw and acidic. He continues, "You are a holiness preacher. The Pride Assembly Church sisters are naturally beautiful. Without makeups, trousers, attachments, weave-ons, paintings, bleaching, artificials, extras like extra eye, extra mouth, and extra vulture-like fingernails." He said, "See Bride Assembly sisters. See holy radiation and God's glory in their faces. See natural beauty. The sister's comportment is 100% excellent and okay. Your church is not a church of nakedness. The picture of bride church I am seeing is a congregation that wants to make heaven at last. Pastor, please do not relent. Keep on with your salvational message and teachings. I love the testimony of Brother Chinedu from Sweden. Please greet him for me. He is a soul winner indeed. Pastor Alu, where are you from? Please, I would like you to help drag me to heaven. May God's oceanic anointing on you never dry. May you continue to bear fruit and be fresh and flourishing. I wish you and your family heaven at last. Thanks, Ben Obika." And he wrote through his email address, obikaben@yahoo.com. Praise the Lord. And I replied the email, and he wrote this again. He said, "I hope my reply will find you, your family, and the bride assembly enjoying the best of good health. May our King, Jesus Christ, on whose allegiance we have for heaven at last, continue to bless and multiply the bride assembly, is the prayer of my heart for you. With the receipt of your two replies simultaneously in my hands, you strike me as a very humble and unassuming personality. After digesting your mails, all my doubts and questions about Pastor William Branham were dissolved. You were correct to say we are in a period of apostate Christianity. Corroborating your claims, Brother Gilad Cornish said, unquote, and quoting, many prophets of Baal have invaded many churches today. We are the seat of our congregations, suiting them with a balm of philosophy and motivational psychology as sermons," unquote. "In my house, we majorly watch two channels, the Lord's Chosen Charismatic Movement and the Bride Assembly, in the midst of numerous Christian channels. Recently, I have been selling the Bride Assembly channel to my few interested Christian friends. By his grace, I am willing to consume William Branham's materials and pamphlets and books if mailed to me. Sadly enough, America, the land of superlatives, has backslidden and backslidden to the extent of talking about animal rights and approving man to be sleeping with a horse. Gay, abortion, divorce, prostitution. I have just written a lengthy letter to Joyce Meyer, whose ministry has intercontinental acceptance, to go back to salvational sermons of holiness and to dump worldliness, painting, and nakedness among ladies. Sir, you need to go to America for revival. May God help us and our families to do away with whatever that will make us lose our seats in his kingdom or blot out our names in the book of life. And he ends it, Brother Ben Obika. His phone number is 080-337-49167 in case you want to confirm. Can we clap our hands for our God? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The two channels that he worships, the two churches are located in the same spot. So you see, if you don't want to go to Lord Chosen, you can come to Bride. If you don't want to come to Bride, you can go to Lord Chosen. We are one. Are we not one? Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And something, my greatest joy in my ministry is being fulfilled. What is that joy? The joy, all these years, this great move of God that God did through the ministry of William Branham, the Antichrist system, using the tool of denominationalism and all his agencies, have relegated the entire message to the background. Until people know nothing about this great move of God. I'm telling you. And what is more painful is that those that this message was committed, those that they were committed, in, the message was committed into their hands, they folded their hands and looking at how the damage that the denominations were doing to this message. Instead of using the money to also enter the same medium through which they are propagating that, they are collecting the money and gratifying themselves. Building their own houses and living their affluent lifestyle they are having. And the message was pushed under the carpet. Put on your television, you will not see one single television channel preaching this entire message. None. But they have the money to do it. They have the money. There are rich people in this entire message. Even in Africa, there are rich people. Praise the Lord. And I have been frustrated. It has been a burden in my heart. How can this precious thing, praise the Lord, precious that God gave us, be swept under the ground? And my joy has been fulfilled because we have followed them now bumper to bumper. Now there is a channel 24 hours that you can be hearing that message that they did not want the world to hear. That is my greatest joy. That is my fulfillment in the ministry. And I am not using that to make any claim of a ministry. No, I am a local pastor of a local church and nothing beyond that. And if you call me anything beyond that, you are an antichrist. You are an antichrist. Because that is where it starts. When Satan wants to destroy a ministry, it will start by bringing some things, and before you know what, people are saying, you are not an ordinary man, no. Your ministry is worldwide.
You are a chief apostle. You are a worldwide ministry. If you come to me and tell me that, I'll look at you and say, they don't come. They don't come. They don't come. They don't come. There is fivefold ministry and nothing beyond the fivefold ministry. You are either an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor. Uh-huh. Is Ima on the line? Is Ima on the line? Yes?
Hallelujah. God bless you. Can we clap our hands for that contribution? Praise the Lord. He said, he called to ask, is it possible that the door of salvation will be closed before Christ will come because of the revelation he saw? And it's so timely because you need to know that the rapture has started. In Iceland, there in Europe, God is revealing something to one of his seed there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 13. Verse 22. Are we there? Everybody. This is the carcass. For where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered. This is eagle food. Amen. This is eagle food, the bride's meat. Verse 22. It says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, this was his answer. Strive! Strive! Somebody shout strive. Strive, there is struggle. Now, from that statement alone, listen, Pentecostal preachers, evangelical preachers, listen, salvation is not as smooth as you present it. Say after me, once you say it, you are going to heaven. What is it to strive to say, I believe, Jesus, today I'm born again, I'm heaven bound. Forgive my sins. Is there any struggle to say that? No, is there any struggle to say that? So that you know that it means it is more than that. I'm saying this so that you'll understand why Peter said, make your calling and election sure. Not just that. He said, be diligent. Not carelessly. Not hot today, cold tomorrow. Today you are in it. Tomorrow you are out. Be diligent, diligent. Jesus Christ said, watch. A watchman, a good watchman, does not sleep. Because the hour the thief will come, he doesn't know. He is anxious. Any movement, he said, what did happen there? Jesus said, watch. Watch unto his coming. Watch. And to all, I say, watch. He emphasized it. Peter said, be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. So that you'll understand why we give so much importance to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says, strive. I'm reading verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Straight here, it's not like straight line, no. S-T-R-A-I-T. Straight there is rough. It's rough. The gate is rough. Very, very rough. It is part of the gate that this church was demolished. The experience is very, very rough. Not palatable. If you are going to stand for truth. Can somebody catch something? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now connect this to what Emma from Iceland is saying. Verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, stand outside, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me just take that one statement only from that verse. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me quickly let you know something. When he says the door, when once he has risen and has shut to the door, I have to explain this. Brother Imar from Iceland, you are looking at my teaching on the divine timetable, and you are looking at it that certain things have not yet been fulfilled, therefore he will not come. Listen, follow the divine timetable teaching very well. Hallelujah. There are certain stages that you will reach that it's not everybody that will be partaker of it. And yet, Jesus has not come. The closing of the door there. Listen, church. When he said he will close the door, listen. This door is not a physical door of a room closed somewhere. The door of salvation now, is it not open? It's open. Amen. When the door of salvation, the day it was open, did you know that the door was open? You only found yourself entering and then you too, Christ is accepting you. But when it was open, did they announce that today the door is open? No. So also, the day that salvation will be over, it will not be announced, yet the door will be closed. Remember, when it is closed to certain people so that they will not be partaker of the remaining part of the program for homegoing. That is the closing. And there are people sitting in this church that are taking that risk. When I gave my life to Christ, in fact, one of my prayer points, I've been praying up to recently, I still pray that prayer. I say, Lord, I did not, there's nothing I did. It's not even prayer I prayed before you saved me. I remember how I got saved. I said, Lord, I did not go praying. I didn't know there is anything called enter message, that you sent a message to the church in this age. You made me to see the ministry of William Branham and positioned me. I said, Lord, the next move, don't leave me behind. Let that love that found me and brought me so far in the revelational journey, Lord, don't let that love depart. Make sure, Father, your next move for going home, let me be part of it, because it's not all that will be part of it. That is the warning. That's why he said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those who will weep and gnash are those who we are supposedly waiting to go to heaven, and at the end they find themselves they are not able to be part of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he came down to the level of Emmanuel is from Iceland, from Europe, where they have discipline of timing. So he used it to explain to him that if your flight is 9 o'clock, you are expected to finish all the formalities at least 1 hour before the takeoff time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And blind preachers with large followership are there busy with whatever they have decided to do with the gospel, and staying there and making themselves overseers and the lords of what they believe should be the truth. And I have some. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I have read some of them, and I'll continue to say it. They wrote it in a book. I have books here to quote for you. This is from Ashimolo. Warriors of Righteousness. That is the title. And he wrote this in 1992. This is what he spoke concerning the ministry of William Branham. It's under the paragraph that he titled The Spirit of Error. I'm reading page 50 of his book, Warriors of Righteousness, subtitled Occupy Your Place for for the battle of the end times. See how beautiful the title is. Occupy your position for the battle of the end time. And truth, the battle is between truth and error. And it is the battle I am fighting now. And me and Ashimolowo were in the same battlefield now. Amen. This is what Ashimolowo wrote under the spirit of error. Men and women who are in the ministry must be careful, because along with their responsibilities comes a sense of authority. He says, the spirit of error starts to suggest things they could do and go free because they are not responsible to anyone. They must recognize any manifestation of the spirit of error and deal with it from the start. William Branham was anointed from an early age. At 8, he was ministering the word and operating in all the gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. He had such incredible capacity to receive the word of knowledge because God told him he will have favor and know what is in the hearts of men. His meetings were packed with people, but later in his ministry, he became too self-assured. Although he never had much education, he would not allow any editing or correction of his messages because they were printed, before they were printed. And then he started to teach that he was the last prophet. And then he went on. One of the errors, therefore, is that William Branham thought that he was the last prophet, according to Ashimolowo. And he ended in a paragraph there by saying, many have made a shipwreck of their faith, and churches have had problems because of the spirit of error. Wherever it is detected, a stand must be taken against the spirit of error, commanding it to live in the name of the Lord. So you will command William Branham's messages away in the name of the Lord, so that you can continue to gather people who dress anyhow, who don't care about holiness in your churches. Then our renowned and respected Dr. D.K. Olukoya of the Mountain of Fire and Miracle Ministry here in Lagos, in his book that he titled Smite the Enemy and He Will Flee. Smite the Enemy and He Will Flee. That book was written in the year 2000. And in page 152. Page 152. This is what he wrote. And under the subtitle, Satan, he called a prayer point that they should pray. He said, I want you to close your eyes and pray this prayer point. Satan will not write the last chapter of my life in the name of Jesus. And they prayed. And this is the reason he gave that prayer point. One of the greatest men of God who ever lived happened to be an American evangelist. He was so anointed that it has become difficult up to now to find anyone who can be compared with him. The anointing which God gave him was so unusual that a halo always appeared around him whenever he ministered. Every time he ministered, outstanding miracles generally took place. His level of anointing was so great that everyone prayed to be like him. All he had to do was to read the Bible. An angel of God always stood before him to tell him exactly what to say while preaching. Whenever it was miracle time, everyone became surprised at the level of anointing. He would minister for so many hours until he became so tired that he had to be carried on a stretcher out of the crusade ground. Although he was highly anointed by God, he began to derail. And he came up with some strange false doctrines. For example, he started teaching that the fruit which God told Adam and Eve not to eat in the Garden of Eden was sex. He began to teach that it was Satan or the serpent that taught her how to have sex, something which God did not want them to do. He went ahead to teach that Eve went ahead to practice it with her husband. There is a passage in the book of Revelation where seven thunders were said to have struck. He said that he had discovered that John, the writer of the book of Revelation, was told not to disclose anything about the seven thunders. He said several other things that bordered on errors. Towards the end of his life, he started drinking alcohol. He was knocked down by a moving trailer and died. When an autopsy was carried out on his corpse, they found a lot of alcohol in his system. That was how a great man of God died, a drunkard. Why don't you pray that prayer point once again? Satan, you will not write the last chapter of my life in the name of Jesus. That is the testimony of a man of God leading hundreds of thousands of devoted followers. And yet, a graduated liar. Is a doctor of lies. Dr. Lukoya. I am a son of the prophet. You went and wrote a book to say complete lies, and you are saying it willingly, willfully. Why? Because you know you are guilty of what William Branham stood for. Everybody can go into the net, go into the internet. Type William Branham there. You will see over a million things concerning him there. And how he died is written there. He is not a drunkard. Olukoya, give us the autopsy report. Tell us which doctor made the autopsy. That there's so much blood. And which hospital? Where is the record? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same thing with Apostle Johnson Suleiman.
While I got to the 11th day, I was feeling like I've not started. I was practically crying to see a man, William Branham, who operated the first man I read about, who operated super creative, not just missing kidney, missing liver, super creative. He was a hunter. And one time he was going out, the wife said to him, catch me squirrel. He said, no problem. He went round the bush and down the forest, and there was no squirrel to catch. And he stood somewhere and stretches and said, let there be squirrel. And the squirrel appeared. He created squirrel. The car engine knocked, packed up, and they said to him that the engine is bad. And he said to them, brand new engine. They went back to check it. They saw new engine in the car. Super creative. Lord Jesus, prove that you sent me. And in the crusade, the face of Jesus appeared on the sky. The Jesus that you call, that you have not seen. Somebody brought his face on the sky. The whole world saw it. He was with the pulpit and saw fake ministers on the altar. And he said, oh Lord. He told them, he said, you are fake. You are living in sin. And they reacted. He said, oh Lord, if I am saying the truth, let there be a divide. And the pulpit divided. Pulpit, altar. Divided, moved in. I mean, it's like people are standing here, I'm standing here, and here divided, here moved forward and left the ministers there. There was a divide in public. Now, outstanding power. He will sit down and give revelations. Come. Abraham died in an accident. What are the errors? You see, when I got through this, I said to myself, I will not end wrongly.
Impression that William Branham, with despite all that anointing and testimony, he ended a failure. Apostle. Of Robert Lyodon and all the rest, Olukoya, Ashimoloa, Johnson, and so many others are saying all the lies they are saying concerning that man. We also have people like Rick Jonah. In the final quest, page 144, the Lord Jesus said, took him and was showing him some things in the heavenly places. I quote, "As I was listening, I felt compelled to look up towards one of the thrones beside us. Immediately, I saw a man that I recognized. He had been a great evangelist when I was a child, and many felt that he had worked in more power than anyone since the early church. I had read about him and listened to some of his recorded messages. It was hard not to be touched by his genuine humility and the obvious love he had for the Lord and people. Even so, I also felt that some of his teachings had gone seriously awry. I was surprised, but also relieved to see him sitting on a great throne. I was captured by the humility and love that still exuded from him. As I turned to the Lord to ask if I could talk to him, I could see how much the Lord obviously loved this man. However, the Lord will not permit me to speak with him, but motion for me to continue walking. And the Lord was telling him, I just wanted you to see him there, the Lord explained, and understand the position that he has with me. There is much for you to understand about him. He was a messenger to my last day church. But the church could not hear him for reasons that you must understand in due time. He did fall into discouragement and delusion for a time, and his message was distorted. This message that he said was distorted after he left. The people that carried the message after William Branham went distorted the message, and they are still distorting it now. And this is what the Lord was telling him. It must be recovered. Is it not recovering now? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said it must be recovered as well as the parts that I have given to others, which we are also distorted. Unquote. That is from Rick Jonah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I have others here. Listen. Listen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is from Mr. Lassie. This man is the director of questionable documents in the FBI laboratory in America. When that pillar of fire above William Branham was taken and there was controversy, he be like say, and he went and used their gadgets and discovered that it was the photograph of a supernatural object. And this is his comment after he wrote the report of what he found out. He said, Reverend Branham, you will die like all other mortals, but as long as there is a Christian civilization, your picture will live on. Let me give you another quote. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is from a book written by a preacher Peregrine. He titled it The Acts of the Prophet. I quote, "After a lapse of centuries, God has once again visited the people of this generation through a prophet. He has sent a prophet chosen from his mother's womb and has ordained this man's life from childhood, molding him as he did the other men of God in the scriptures." Unquote. Many of us know Osborne, T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne, on the memorial service, on the death of William Branham, he preached a message there. And this was, among other things, he said, this is one of the quotes. This is what he said. "God has chosen diverse and mysterious ways to reveal himself to his servants, especially those called for dispensational purposes, as was William Brother Branham's call." In short, the man we know as William Branham was sent to demonstrate God again in the flesh. So he, God, sent forth a particular human vessel surrounded by supernatural signs to attract attention, to make this wayward generation stop and look and ponder and search and think. Thus, the halo of light that appeared at his birth, the star, the angel, the discernment, these gifts, all of these for that purpose. What for? To show us God again. To repeat what he showed us in Jesus Christ when he came in the form of flesh. To remind us one final time, like Jesus, Brother Branham redemonstrated the very things which made men believe that the true Messiah had come. T.L. Osborne is among the Pentecostal preachers till today. There's another writer, somebody who made an introduction in Maurice Sillitoe's book. The book is titled Wind Over the 20th Century. And this was his comment, George Eckroth. This is a popular preacher also in America. He said, "God called this humble man and anointed his ministry to a degree that within a few short years, his name was known in the most remote jungle outstations. Wherever you will go in this world, you will find that the name of this messenger had preceded you." And also, in another book titled All Things Are Possible, David Edwin Harrell Jr. wrote, and this is what he said, "Most of the participants of the healing revival that erupted in 1947 looked upon Branham as its initiator. William Branham became a prophet to a generation. Night before thousands of our believers, he discerned the diseases of the sick and pronounced them healed. The power of Abraham's service remains a legend unparalleled in the history of the charismatic movement." Unquote. James Morris, in another book entitled The Preachers, this is what he wrote. "It was Branham, more than any other evangelist, who started the post-World War II fundamentalist faith healing revival following his encounter with an angel on May 7, 1946. Word radiated in every direction that all manner of diseases and afflictions were healed instantly by the little Indiana preacher. Even cases of raising the dead were published." Unquote. Another one, Thomas Nickell. This was a write-up in Full Gospel Men's Voice, their pamphlet, Full Gospel Businessmen titled this Voice. In February 1961, this is what he wrote. "In Bible days, there were men of God who were prophets and seers. But in all the sacred records, none of these had a greater ministry than that of William Branham, a prophet and a seer of God, whose photograph appears on the front cover of this issue of Full Gospel Men's Voice. Branham has been used by God in the name of Jesus to raise the dead. Even Full Gospel Businessmen, their magazine, featured him with his picture in the front page." And Joseph Maxim Bose, in the Herald of Faith, published in February 1966. This is what he wrote. Sometimes I was scared because of the deep sense of holiness that penetrated the meeting. But I never failed to see the gift of God in operation through his servant and to feel the warmth of love that flowed through his ministry. Unquote. While these people are busy, hallelujah, saying all manner of things concerning that ministry, God unleashed them. God unleashed them. Call William Branham, a man sent from God. This is the book. A man sent from God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why am I talking about this man's ministry? It is because all hell has been loose against the only ministry that had the light to pull us out of darkness. Of all the people that God used, have you seen them write any book against any other man? No, only this man, William Branham. Why do I thank God for that ministry? When I gave my life to Christ, and in any of you listening to me now, if you are sincere with yourself, because so many of us, we are not sincere. You are not sincere. See, if you are going to take medicine, every one of you here, it is only a stupid person that will not want to see whether it expires or not. Anything you want to eat, because you know you are risking your life. If you go to garage and they are telling you, they are calling the name of your village, Okija, 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 and you are going to your village, Okija, the first thing you look is the health of the vehicle. I hope this motto. The next thing you look tire. Now, it is a wise person that lives your life watchful. Amen. Before you sleep in the night, praise the Lord. Before you sleep in the night, a wise man goes around to make sure everywhere is locked before you can sleep well. It's true. It is only when it comes to religion that human beings don't sit and think. Christianity is about life and death. You don't make somebody your pastor until you are sure that pastor wants to go to heaven too. You are seeing most of the pastors, they are not interested in going to heaven. How do we know it? By their fruits, you will know. Where your treasure is, where your heart is. Hallelujah. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. And where your heart is where you will be emphasizing in your ministry. It's true now. All they teach you is prosperity, prosperity. Prosperity in heaven or on earth. And people are not understanding that man doesn't want to go to heaven. And you say you want to go to heaven and you go and stand there. You are foolish. You are not thinking. People joke with their eternal destination. See, I was saying something. When I came to Christ, I was reading the Bible. After reading the Bible, let's see something here. What do you use to judge whether I am a Christian or not? What do you use? Eh? No. There must be something. If you go to court, what do they use to sentence you? It says a book. There's a law now. According to this law, if you do this, it is so years sentence. We find you guilty of this in line with this thing. This is what you did. Okay? And God is going to judge us also by this Bible. Now, if this Bible is the constitution of the Christians, if this Bible is our bearing, gives us to give us the bearing, then if you are sincere with yourself, if you come to Christ and you read this Bible, read the New Testament, read it, you see Christianity, take your eyes away and look at what is in Christendom. If you are sincere, you will ask questions.
You are not asking questions because you are not sincere. And he who asks will receive. If you seek, you will find. That was my position. Why? One Bible. When did we become denominations? One Bible. When did we fragment into what we are in today? Where did it start? Why are some churches like this and the other ones like that? Why are some churches not agreeing with others? Why are some people bearing so title and some are not bearing it? No matter how big the Redeemed Christian Church is, the overseer, general overseer there, he's still bearing pastor. But there are some that their branch, the church, their members, they're only 200. He's already Reverend Doctor. So why is it like that? No, I'm telling you something. I'm challenging you. You are foolish if that question is not in your heart. You are just doing a follow. That is the spirit of religion. And Christianity is not a religion. It's life. You joke with Christianity, you are joking with your life. A lot of people have gone there and mortgaged their eternal destination in the hands of people who are not ready to go to heaven. And it took the ministry of William Branham to give me the answers to all the questions. And returned me to the Bible and made me to respect this Bible more than any other man. Any other thing can come from anywhere. So what do you use to judge? You judge, use the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, church. I am not preaching a man. But I'm preaching to make you take a stand in the midst of a deliberate onslaught against the present truth. It's a deliberate, calculated from the kingdom of darkness. The truth is, people like that have to say it. Because if their members get to know what William Branham preached, many of those churches will be empty. Many will be empty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you understand, Isaiah chapter 28. Let me read some verses here. Verse 7. But they also have erred through wine. Listen, this is a prophetic language. Through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priests and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way. Through strong drink, they err in vision, they stumble in judgment, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That is the Christian, the church of Jesus Christ. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? The answer is them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, the milk of the word of God, the two breasts of the Old and New Testament. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. See the way the Spirit was stressing it. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they will not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men. All of you, I have read those, what the scornful men are saying. That rule these people, which is in Jerusalem, the church of Jesus Christ. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, this is where I am going. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I will explain it. That verse 16 is the ministry of William Branham. And I'll prove it. Because it is the ministry of Jesus Christ. That ministry there is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it is the ministry of William Branham. Jesus through William Branham. Jesus through Apostle Paul. Jesus through all the apostles, Peter and the rest. It was Jesus. Jesus through John Wesley. Jesus through Martin Luther. Jesus all through. In the fivefold ministry, he's still Jesus. Even now, he's Jesus through Brother Moses. It's a ministry. That's why I'm not the general overseer. He is the general overseer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. People like that. Isaiah 29, verse 9. Hear what he said. He said, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. And yet they are drunken. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. And has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, had he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by what? The precepts of men instead of the word of God. What's the messages they teach their people? Precepts of men. Doctrines of men that have no life in it. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among these people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. That is the estate that they have found themselves. But as for us, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, bride of Jesus Christ. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction coming upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, as we saw in Isaiah, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we are not in darkness because there is a light. And that light is what verse 7 in Zechariah chapter 14 says. It is the evening light. It is the closing light. At evening time, there shall be light. And it is the closing light. Oh, that's why the pillar of fire is a symbol of our faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, church. Listen very well. William Branham, an angel of God, came to teach him how to fish. I'm going into the real message now. All this one they thought is now comments. Now I'm going to a teaching now. Catch a revelation. Listen. God came down by that angel to teach William Branham how to fish in a vision. And he told him, you have been making mistake in your evangelical activities and everything. You have not. Look. You a fisherman. You are a fisherman. Where do fishes live? They live inside the water. And Revelation 17 tells us that water, spiritually, it means multitude of people. Hallelujah. And in the multitude of all that are living in the water, a fisherman is going to look for a fish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when he's going to look for a fish, hallelujah, you don't just go anyhow. The real fish that has proper protein, the real fish that the fisherman will be proud that I catch big fish. He's going to catch big fish. He's not looking for small fish. No big fish. They are not easy to catch. They are not easy to catch. Church, those fishes are God's children in the ocean of the 6 billion human beings that live on earth. God's children, in the midst of those 6 billion, they are his fishes. And God was telling William Brown and every preacher, you are a fisherman. We are given one ministry. It is the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us, ministers, that is our ministry. To reconcile God with his children. That is what the ministry is all about. To get the real children of God, the real children of God, to get them. It's not easy because their makeup is different from others. God's true elect, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not easy to deal with them. They are not mumu followers. If you catch them, although you will see them there, but they will know that they are not supposed to be there. They will not be comfortable. And if there is elect in any church, that the pastor is a pair pastor, the pastor never finds peace with that elect. Church member will quarrel every time. Why? Because he will not do like that. He will follow pastor, you do like this. Why? Amen. The true elect does not mortgage his soul for any reason. And the true elect, they are not coming to God for what they will receive from him. So, what will you use to attract them? Do you understand? They are not coming because it's no problem that makes them run to God. So you will not say, they are looking for God. They don't speak against the gifts. But that is not their yardstick for a true ministry. It's not the anointing. That is the seed of God. So, the angel came to William Branham. This is how to catch the fish. He said, if you throw naked hook in the water, will any fish come? Even they see and they see the thing like this. Hey, you are catching me. Now lie. Praise the Lord. That is why some inter-message pastors have problem with gathering people. They don't know how to catch fish. But here we know how to catch fish. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when God sends you, gives you a ministry, gives you an assignment, gives you a ministry, every true servant of God, every true ministry, he will do what that angel told William Branham. He said, put a bait. Earthworm is a bait. Something that you know the fishes like to eat. And then throw it inside the water. When you throw earthworm inside the water, that is food now. Fishes will run. Listen, oh, praise the Lord. When you throw it in the water, fishes will run. But it is the small, small fishes. Listen to me. I'm talking to somebody here. It is the small, small fishes that run. Why? They are always the first to see it. Because they don't live in the depth of the water. They always live above. So when anything is happening, anything, even if na wood you throw inside the water, boo, they will run. Before they will discover say na wood, then they will turn back. So they are the first. The real fish, the big, big fish, they are under. They are under. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, all of us that are truly converted, we are deep in the world before. Some of us were in occult. Some of us were into prostitution. Anything a seed of God wants to do, he will do it well, well. That's why when he becomes a Christian, he will serve God also well, well. It's your nature. You always enter deep, deep, deep inside it. You are deep in the world. So those fishes are there. Amen. Small one, we can like this. Now the angel told him, that is, now you now start the first pull. The pull there is pulling that hook out of the water. Now, you know you threw it down. Pull it small up. That is the first pull. Just pull it small up. You know why? Because when those fishes run, those big fishes will turn and they will not move. They will just stay. What did happen there? Amen. Every revival, there are people that immediately they send a revival, they are there. They are the ones that announce that something is happening somewhere. They are always the first to hear. Oh boy, if you go in Cheshire, something they dare. They are always the ones. But the big fish will wait first. What is happening there? Because they have had all manner of things in Christianity. All manner of isms have risen up. We are there today. Another one don't come out, Abby. So they will come and look. Now, he said the first pull, when you pull that first one up, is to enable that big fish where they look. He said, through, there's something there. So that he can come close. When he sees that second one pull up, that first pull that he pull up like that, he then sees that there's something there, then he will come close. He will not go, just come close to see where we're. Praise the Lord. When he comes close to see where we're, then now you have the second pull so that he will see, say through, because those small fishes don't cover everywhere. So you have to pull a second time again. Pull it again, then the fish will see, say, ha, through, there's food inside this place. Then Philip ran to Nathaniel. Come see something, Nathaniel. Is there Nathaniel, another big fish? Tell him, say, what happened? He said, come see Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one they have been talking about. And Nathaniel said, where did it take place? Ijesha. One day there before now. When they dress, one car every time for street. That's something. Ijesha again. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathaniel, that's the question of a fish. Then the angel told William Branham, that is the time that you prepare for the third pool. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And our sermon topic is the third pool.
Now, what do you mean by a pool? You are pulling fish out of the water. But remember, praise the Lord, we are talking about pulling us out of the water of the world to somewhere. Where are we pulling to? Where are they pulling us to? To heaven, in the rapture. God is coming to earth to fish for his people. And he is to pull us, the fishes, out to the rapture. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is it. That is the mystery that is going on now. God has begun pulling some people away from this earth. He has started. The rapture has started. And that's what I want to prove to you hearing me for the first time. Hallelujah. Each time God wants to pull, he demonstrated it in the Exodus. We have three Exodus in the Bible. The one led by Moses. The one led by Jesus. And the one led in this grace age, this plantation church age, by the man William Marion Abraham. And each of them had these pools. He was given the message to go to Pharaoh. What is the message? Let my people go. But they will not believe him. Therefore, he was given two signs. So, he is going with three things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fish. Big fish. The first pool. When the thing enter the water, he goes. First pool. He will not believe it yet. The second pool. He will not believe it. Until he comes close and sees. That is exactly what we see in Exodus chapter 4. Open it. Listen, because that is where they miss the ministry of William Branham. Verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto me. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Certainly, after the rapture, what next? Fire on earth here. So what is the first sign that was given to him? He was given two signs. Stick turned to serpent. His hand turned leprous. He's going with it. And the third thing that he's going with is, thus said the Lord. What is the message that finally pulled them out of Egypt? Let my people go and sacrifice unto me in the wilderness. That was the message. When it was time for Jesus also, he also had the same three pools. The first one was the healing. The healing there to cause attraction. If you are not having anything, if you stand here, you are speaking grammar, speaking English, no true elect of God will come to that church. You are throwing a naked hook. Who will come there? So Jesus too had a message. But before they believe him, he had to start with healing. Because that's the commonest problem everybody has. And who are those that rush there? Those miracle seekers. after that, he went to the next sign that was given to him. After the miracle signs and wonders, the next sign was the discernment. Where you could stand and tell you what you are thinking. And discern the problem of that woman in the well, by the well. The Samaritan woman by the well. And it was through that second sign that the woman now looked at him and said, come. They say, if our Messiah comes, these are the things we will do. Are you the Messiah? And then he identified himself before her through the second sign. And people were still coming. Then the third one, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is where the separation takes place. A man from Iceland saw God came down and was causing a separation. The separation that God was doing, he didn't come down and he said, you go this way, you go this way physically. No, it is something that he's doing that is causing everybody to go the way it's written of him or her. Jesus Christ did it. They were following him. Miracle signs and wonders. And at the time, he stopped performing miracle. And from that time that he stopped performing miracle, up to the time they killed him on the cross of Calvary, no more miracle recorded. So there was nothing to make anybody follow him anymore. He began to thin down the crowd. That is the separation. He began to drop certain things that certain people will not be able to receive, so that they will leave the ministry and go. And that takes place in the third pool. He came to the ministry of William Branham, the minister of restoration, to restore the church back again. He will make sure always when God wants to do something monumental, he doesn't just come anyhow. So that people will know this is God. Before Moses came on the scene, there was frustration. The children of Israel, they were in serious frustration, in serious bondage, until they had to be crying. So that when the deliverer comes, they will identify him and follow him. He, God, allowed that condition to take place. The same thing also. Before Jesus Christ came, there was for about 400 years no prophet in the land before John the Baptist appeared. And before that, Jesus or God himself made sure that John the Baptist did not perform any miracle. It was Jesus. And from that time, the 400 years in the whole of Israel, no miracle, no divine healing. With all the religious preachers and Sadducees and Pharisees, none of them could heal headache. Nothing. So that when he will step on the ground, there will be an attraction. So the first sign he gave the Lord Jesus Christ, that was why he had that healing. Then discernment. If you say healing is common, Babalawo can do it, anybody can do it, then, okay, discernment now. And before you know what, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We come to the ministry of William Branham. And remember that it is only when that third pool estate came in the ministry of Jesus Christ that you have few people that stood with him. Out of all the crowd that were following him all those years, by the time he came to that third pool, the opening of the word, the purpose for which he came on earth, the rest, everybody went. Few people. So that in my Iceland, you can understand why those on the ship side, there were very few that you saw. The rest, they were all miracle seekers who want to know nothing about any revelatory truth. Listen, church. The ministry of William Branham was the same thing. God himself made sure that there was no such healing and all those miracles taking place for years. Yes! Everywhere we are dead with evangelicals only around. For God so love. For God so love. For God so love. And anywhere they go, since they don't have healing, they have to build hospitals there. And make contribution. Have hospital. Have all this, charity. Love. 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 They could not go beyond that. It was God that deliberately did it because there was a ministry that was coming. And through the ministry of William Branham, hallelujah, the same thing when the angel came to him,
If you listen to his personal testimony, he said he didn't go to school. How will the people, because he said he's sending him the ministry around the world, and you'll be, you know, meeting with the kings and everybody like that. And he said, but I didn't go to school. How will I do it? And he told him, as Moses was given two signs, you also will be given two signs. And the signs were exactly the signs he also gave the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing, signs, and wonders, and miracles. And all the attention, they were following him. Crowd were following him. And the parable of the fishing net. The fisherman threw his net, and it caught all manner of things in Matthew 13. But it was fish he threw the net to catch. So if it is fish that is looking for, that net will also catch cockroach, catch crab, even catch crayfish, catch electric fish, catch all manner of fishes, catch tortoise, even water snake. All of them go enter that net. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's my friend. I will ever follow him. He's my friend. He's my friend. Water snake. They sing and they follow. Tortoise. They sing and they follow. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But Jesus knows his own. The foundation of God standing. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows who a fish is. And this is how he decided to divide them. He began. Now. When he reached the level that will embrace the second sign, he was now discerning the thought. I read all the testimonies you are hearing. Oh, this man is something else. Guy, this man is something else. They were all following. But when he came to 1963, February 24th, when those angels came and said it is time for the opening of the seals, his ministry was not the healing ministry. His ministry was not the discernment gifts that he was operating. He had a message. Church, he had a message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the ministry started in 1963. That was the opening of the seals. It was the opening of the seals. And it was at the opening of the seals, blessed be the name of the Lord, that the third pool was ignited. Remember, church, it is the third pool that will catch the real fish. Did I see the healing ministry of William Branham? Did I see it? We didn't see it now. He died in 1965. I saw this message in 1989. He died and long ago. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it is not the miracle that attracted me. It is not the discernment. He didn't give me one prophecy, me personally. I don't know himself. The man was in America, me and Nigeria here. Hallelujah. But it is the third pull that pulled me out of the world. It was the word. It is the word. It is the word. And it is when William Branham began to expose the Antichrist, began to expose the move of the Antichrist and told us who the Antichrist is. And unfortunately for him, the Antichrist is the head of all the churches. So his children will react. And when he reached that stage, they said, William Branham, you will have stayed in your healing and deliverance. That was the mystery that God gave you. And William Branham told us, there is no ministry called healing ministry. The man that God used in a realm that nobody in this age has reached that level. He's telling you that there is no such ministry. He said, that gift is the fishing bait for you to come and hear the message. Hear the message. Praise the Lord.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
The Bright.
My Father, my God, you
Spirit. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord.
Because you love me so, you alone. Oh, now only you alone.
So that you will know what is called separation. And separation is not that you will stop coming to bride assembly. Separation is a spiritual thing. That there are some people that are moving along with something and others are just standing somewhere looking like that. Meanwhile, spiritually, some are gone. Some are gone spiritually. And they are all sitting down clapping hands together. So that is when the rapture started. And the ministry is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Open 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You remember, this is what the Lord himself said. Are we there? Chapter 4 and verse 13. I read up to verse 16 or 17. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also we sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16 is the order of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the same order also, praise the Lord, I'll show you something here. Verse 16. For the Lord himself, the emphasis there, it is the Lord Jesus himself that is doing it, shall, hallelujah, descend from heaven with a shout. So the shout ministry is whose ministry is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. The shout there is Jesus himself shouting. He said the Lord himself will descend with a shout. So if there is a shouting ministry, it is Jesus that is doing the shouting. Hallelujah. But he shouts through a man. He has chosen that concerning salvation, he will use man. And that is why it is William Branham that has fitted right there in that shout ministry. Praise the Lord. With the voice of the archangel and with a trump of God. Three stages of the rapture. Three stages of the pool. Three stages. Praise the Lord. Three stages. And William Branham, in a sealed book, this is the way he described it. Let me open page. The sealed book, we should all be having a copy each of it. In page 563, the one you have, brother, the new cover, I think that one was produced, reprinted in 2008. The one reprinted in 2008 is a different page. It's on page 509, on paragraph 299. But this one I'm reading from is the very old one that was printed in 1967. And on the second to the last paragraph there, the last two lines there, after he had an experience, that is where he narrated about how he was taught to fish. That is where the story is. And something happened that they were misunderstanding what he was doing. In that revelation that he saw, and the Spirit of God, he said, and a voice came and said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. He said, now leave them alone.
Because they were arguing with what was going on at that time. And just then, he picked me up. A revelation that he had. William Branham is narrating it. He took me up and sat me way up high to where a meeting was going on. It looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. And I looked and there was a little box-like, a little place over there on the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. That light you see there on the picture, that is the light above his picture there. It wide away from me like that and went over to that tent and said, I will meet you there. And said, this will be the third pool and you won't tell it to nobody. And in Sabino Canyon, that mountain, that area where he went that day, he said, this is the third pool and there is three great things that goes with it. The third pool has three great things that go with it. And one unfolded today with the opening of the seals. So the third pool began with the opening of the what? The seals. Or yesterday. The other one unfolded today. And there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's an unknown language. As I stand right there and look right straight at it, and this is the third pool coming up, and the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. I'll show you where all heaven was silent. Praise the Lord. Now, I'd better stop right here, see? I just feel checked not to say no more about it. See? So just remember, the seventh seal, the reason it was not opened, the reason he did not reveal it, no one should know about it. And yet there are some intermessage churches that preach and say the seven thunders have been revealed. And I want you, William Branham is saying, and I want you to know, before I even knew any word about that, that vision came years ago. You remember that? And here it is, just as this other has sliced right straight into the word, exactly where it was. And God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that. And here it was. It's later than we think. Oh my. Just shows it's from God. You see? It fits exactly in the promises of God from the end of the message. You notice. Notice now, for the end of time, for the end of time message, this seal, he has revealed all the six seals. But he didn't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it will start, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Before knowing that, I remember Revelation 10:1-7. At the end of the seven angels message, all the mystery of God will be known. We are at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. Now, how did I know the other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on be humble, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what it really was talking about, and now I see it. It is in such a humble way. You would think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican. But it comes just like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God. So help me. The hour is at hand. We are here. Oh my. The emphasis I'm reading that is William Branham himself said the angel told him that now with the seventh seal, the seal now being opened, the seal book, the seals broken, he said, now we are in the third pool. Pull you to where? Pull you to heaven. And he said, it will come in a way so simple that people will not know. Because people will be sitting down here to see some shaking and earthquake and giri 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 guru 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 taka guru. The people are flying and going, oh. That's what people are waiting for. But he said, it will take place and it will be so secret. People will not even know it is taking place. The denominationals are having revival everywhere. Unknown to them, the rapture has started. It starts with the opening of the seals. Why? Because the opening of the seas let us know the move of the Antichrist. And let us know why the church is in the condition that it is now. And so that you will know the reason to leave the denominational system. Because the denominational system is an Antichrist system. It is through the opening of the seas that we get to know that denominational churches are as far from the pathway of salvation as east is from the west. Far apart. Just as the Pharisees and Sadducees. Far. God that they were worshipping was around. But because they are too far in their religious settings to recognize God. The same way they call William Branham all that name, they call Jesus Christ, Beelzebub, and every other name. Triples. He said, the angel told him, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That this third pool will be in three phases. The first one is what was going on now. And the second one, he said, hallelujah. The second stage of the three pools, he said, he was ever seeing it. He said it was in an unknown tongue. So he himself did not understand it. And he said that was why there was silence. Where was this silence? William Branham, God was showing him the revelation of those six seals, Revelation chapter 5, chapter 6, and all the six seals were open, and the interpretation of all those were given to us through William Branham. But when it came to the seventh seal, it was silent. The second seal was open in Revelation chapter 8. Can we open it? Verse 1. Listen. Oh, Jesus. Revelation chapter 8. That is where the eighth seal was open. The seventh seal was open in chapter 8. Verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal. Amen. I hope I'm not speaking Greek. You know, you see, the bride has her language. You know, I am saying that some people may be understanding. Which one did they seal again now? Seal. Which one be sealed? Seal again now. Which one be this one again now? Eh? There is a stage that we go when we talk. They will sit with us, but they won't understand what we are saying. Eh? In Revelation chapter 5, God opened the eyes for those hearing me for the first time of John. He saw one sat on the throne with a book in his hand, sealed in and out with seven seals. And John looked at it. I was expecting it, somebody to open the book. But nobody was qualified to open the book. No human being. Nobody. Anywhere at all. And in that book lay something that pertains to our redemption. And nobody knows what is written there because it is sealed. And so, he began to cry. This story is in Revelation chapter 5. And he was crying. I was crying, miserable looking. And one of those elders that he saw in chapter 4, those 24 elders at the throne, tapped him and said, John, don't cry. He said, because the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevail, and he's worthy to receive the book. And suddenly he saw a lamb that walked to he that sat on the throne and collected that book. So who is with the book now? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was the only human being that was qualified. He was the only sinful human being, sinless human being. All of us, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was the only sinless person that obeyed even to the death on the cross. And because of that, he is given a name that is above every other name. That the mention of that name, Jesus, every knee must bow. That's why he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of glory. So who is with the book now? The book is with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he alone has the secrets that is in that book. And
He made sure nobody knew what was in that book. It was open. John only saw the first one open. He saw a white horse with a rider. The second seal was open. He saw another one, red horse with a rider that went about and killing and killing. The third one was open. He saw a black horse. And then that one too was going and conquering. And then the fourth seal was open again. He saw a pale horse rider. And that is all John saw. What those horse means, whatever they were doing means, nobody knew. Until February 24th, 1963, the angel of the Lord told William Branham, you should go back to town. And it was when they came back, those seven angels came to him to tell him it is time for the revelation of those seals. That was when those angels were going back and they formed that cloud that you see there in the sky. Look at it very well. And the angel told William Branham, it was the face of Jesus Christ. It has to be his face because he alone has that book. He alone knows what is there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so the six of them were open. But when it came to the eighth one, that means the seventh seal, chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Why was there silence in heaven for the space of half an hour? Praise the Lord. That is why William Branham himself, if you read it further, he connects the opening of the seals with the archangel in Revelation chapter 10. Can we open it? Verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. We know what the book is now. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now he stands on 1 foot on the sea, 1 foot, 1 foot on the sea, 1 foot on the earth. That is, it was a global picture. It's a ministry that will affect the whole world. It's a move of God that will affect the whole world. And when he stands there with a book in his hand, listen, church, then in Luke chapter 13, where we read from verse 24, where he said we should strive to enter, when once the master of the house stands up, when he stands up, where is he standing up from? For the past 2,000 years, where has Jesus Christ been? He has been on the mercy seat. His blood bleeding till the last elect will come in. By the time he stands up, hallelujah, salvation is over. Salvation is over. It's so dangerous. We should catch this revelation and stop playing Christianity, religion. Why was there silence in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 8? It's pure and simple. For two reasons. Number one, this is a man that has been sitting down there for 2,000 years. The hosts of heaven were seeing him in that position. 2,000 years, a man has been sitting on one place. All of a sudden, he stands up. All
the praises that we are going on in heaven, we keep quiet. What did God want to do? And it is for just 30 minutes. When they say 30 minutes, it's not that you put a clock and count 30 minutes. It's telling you for a short period. It's a very short period. Shorter than we imagine. And he stands up. Why is he standing up? He's standing up for the next move. For the Lord himself will come descend with a shout. They shout there, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's the ministry that call us and awaken us. That is the same thing Jesus Christ spoke in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 25. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go ye out and meet him. It is the same ministry in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The shout. He is the one doing it through that vessel. Now, the second stage, because there are three stages, William Branham said it will come in three stages, the third pool. There, the second stage is what is being fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled through the seven thunder message. He stands up that there should be time no longer. That's why in verse 7 there, he adds there, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Which mystery? Is the mystery of salvation or the Gentiles? When he stands up from that seat, the door is closing, church. The door is closing. Strive to enter. The next move of the second pool is that he holds that book and cried with a loud voice, the lion roared. When he cried like that, seven thunders uttered their voices. John was about to write what he had. The angel told him not to write it. William Branham himself was told that the second stage of the third pool was coming up. And the second stage is the voice of the archangel that produces the seventh thunder message. He said that he saw it written in an unknown language. So whatever the seventh thunder spoke, nobody knows. William Branham didn't know it. Yet, he was part of the pool. The next stage we are waiting for, church, is that something will happen in the spirit that will produce some men on earth here that will rise up and begin to say certain things. And those things that they will say, you will not confirm it from the Bible. It will be a prophetic something. Prophetic message. It will be thus said the Lord. And it is in that they will say what they will be saying that will give us the rapturing faith. The faith that positions you to know that anytime from now we are going. Then, when they begin to sound, hallelujah, and the bride, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When they began to sound from verse 8, John was now told, after the thunder had sounded, notice, I know why I'm emphasizing this. After the thunder sounded, then John was told to go and collect the book on the hand of him that was holding the book, that little book. And he went and collected the book. He said he should eat it. It will be sweet in your mouth, but it will be bitter in your belly. And the angel told him, for thou must prophesy again to nations, to kings, to peoples. John will prophesy again. But John is dead long ago. So it means he was not talking about that John. He's talking about another ministry.
But that ministry manifests only after the seven thunders have sounded. Because the book is not eaten until the thunders have sounded. So any ministry, and that is why Will Abraham say that that's the reason why the things that the thunders will sound, there are things through that will give us rapturing faith. It means we will know when we will be going. There are certain things that we will know pertaining to our home going, that if Satan gets to know about it, he will mess it up. Now there is a teaching that is going on, that before the second part of the three pools, between the first pool, the shout, and the second pool, the voice of the archangel, the seven thunder, that there will be another ministry. I searched the Bible, there is nothing like that. I remember why I am bothered is this person is holding the Bible, holding the sermons of William Branham. He is eloquent, he is a lawyer, he is a learned person. So he knows how to package his error. And then I understand why Bible says that the Antichrist, that spirit, will be so close that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. So that scripture is only in the entire message, the followers of William Branham. And that spirit is catching so many of them. There is no ministry other than the same ministry, because William Branham had a messianic ministry. Hallelujah. Moses had a messianic ministry. After Moses, there was a period before you get to the promised land. Who was the person that carried them along? It was Joshua. Now Jesus Christ came. God took him away. Who will lead us until the time of the rapture? It's the Holy Ghost. The Comforter, the Father that will send the Comforter in my name. He will lead you. He's the leader. He's the Holy Ghost. And how is he doing it, the Holy Ghost? He's doing it through the Ephesians 4:11 5-4 ministry. Not a particular individual. And stop this grammar of saying one is higher than another. Paul is higher than Peter. Paul is higher than James. Paul is higher than the rest. Because they want to smuggle themselves there so that people will be following them in their error. It's nothing like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same thing about coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming. This is how he will come. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. Listen, church. He said, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, as the lightning from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It means he's using the natural things to speak to us about the spiritual things. The light there is the light of the gospel. It started from the east. See the history of how the light of the gospel moved. It ended in the west through the ministry of William Branham. And when the sun goes down in the west, where does it appear again? In the east, does it pass through anywhere again? And this smart guy said there is the input of Ham. That Shem, Japheth, and what's the other one? Shem, Japheth, and Ham, three sons of Noah, that are the three races on earth, and that Shem, the Middle East, they have had their own, and the Western world, Japheth, they have had the gospel. So now it is the turn of Africa, Ham, and it is a Nigerian, and that he is the one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. After the rapture, the sun is not moving through anywhere before it will go to the east. After the rapture, the gospel goes back to the east to finish the last 7 years out of the 70 years in Daniel chapter 9 that was given, 70 weeks that was given to Daniel.
69 has been fulfilled. Remaining one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to catch this. So important. Now you must not be deceived. There's a reason God brought you under such a ministry. I have no reason to deceive you because me myself, I want to go to heaven. And I know that I'll give account of everything I tell you. Before I stand there and tell you anything, I have cross-checked. And I'm ready to call tomorrow if I make a mistake and correct it. I'm not so proud to think that I know everything. I don't know nothing but what the Holy Ghost will lead me to know. And if I make mistake, it is a virtue, a Christian virtue, to own up that I taught you wrong. This is the correct thing. And be sure that I will do it. I have nothing to gain by standing on an error. But I have everything to gain if I follow the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, immediately, he stands up. The door is closing. The door of revelation is closing to the denominationals. While he's going deeper, because what attracted us was revelation. He no longer deals with us by mighty miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, he's dealing with us by positioning us through revelation. And there is nothing that is above the strength of a revelation. And it is what you know concerning Christ, concerning salvation, that determines how you live your life on earth here. Revelation is important. Praise the Lord. A woman that is betrothed to a man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the man is chasing her, when the relationship develops to a stage of marriage now, there are certain things that he will tell her, he will not tell you. Oh yes. There are things that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reveal to his bride that certain people will not know. No matter how anointed they are, and he will not come to you by you falling down under anointing and shaking. No. The last thing Elijah saw in the coming of the Lord to him from that place was a still small voice. He says still small voice. That means you have to pay attention to hear. That was why I woke up this sister from the anointing to go and sit down here. Because what I want to speak now, it will take the Holy Ghost to let you understand what is going on. Church, the rapture has started. There are people now that are knowing, getting closer and closer, and knowing the mystery for translation. And knowing what is expected for translation. The second stage is the voice of the archangel that opens the seventh seal, and it will soon take place. That is the next stage of expectation. And when that happens, then we go, hallelujah. When he says that John will prophesy again, that means something is going to happen among the bride of Jesus Christ. This group of people that had not been known before, suddenly God will do an open show. He said it will be sweet in the mouth, but what? Bitter in the belly. Yes, because what you are going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord, will attract attention. Amen. But they will not be able to bear it. They will not be able to bear it. And it will be a quick, short, and powerful work. It is a move, a global move among a group of people. A group of people based on what they have heard that positions them. When that takes place, then the last one, there are three stages. The shout, the voice of the archangel, that archangel I've told you is Revelation chapter 10, and the trump of God, trump there is a trumpet, the trump of God, and that stage therefore, that stage first and foremost is the message to the dead in Christ. Right now, I hope you know they are not yet in heaven. They are in paradise. a waiting place, because they will not go before us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are all going with Jesus the same day. But now the dead in Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At the last trump, the Bible says so. It is the message to them that we gather all of them. They will hear a message. Whatever it is, it will be something to get them prepared. They are in spirit form. And then to come back and take their glorified bodies. The body change. They come to the earth. Wherever you died before, you go back there and receive back your body. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a message they had, the trump. Then, we now, because of what we have heard from the seven thunders, we know that when we see them, then we know it is homegoing time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As soon as they resurrect and we see them, we too, because he said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive, we will be changed in a moment. Verse 51, 52 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, we will be changed. From this mortality into what? Immortality. We will put on angelic bodies. This body cannot rise. Hallelujah. We have to put a body that can move with the speed of a thought. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then, as the angels, as the saints who are in the spirit form, hearing the trump of God and gathering themselves, we too, that trump, we will also hear a part of it, because there was Lazarus comfort. Every one of us, we will hear our names. When you are alive, you will hear your name. Come forth at the hearing of that voice. That is the anointing that transforms. Changes you automatically. Then we flow with the dead in Christ that have risen. And Jesus Christ will be on the earth there to shout, come up hither. And we will go and be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But listen, church. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead cannot rise except you listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, that is the guarantee. Church, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you will never hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. The guarantee that you will hear the trump, that you will hear the voice of the archangel, is that you have the Holy Ghost. He places something in every one of us so that when he's speaking, we will recognize it. That is why we take the program of the baptism of the Holy Ghost here very, very seriously. The door is closing. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. He said, if you have not the spirit of Christ, Romans chapter 8 verse 9, he said, you are none of his. And he's coming for his own. And his own must have his spirit. You see? 21 days is to take an inward look to position ourselves. And don't sit down and say, be satisfied with the estate that you are in. No. Be sure that what you are experiencing is beyond anointing. That there is the experience you have gives you an anchor. The spirit beareth witness with your spirit that you are a son of God. There must be something that should give you a boldness that I am a child of God. Not because you are a preacher. Not because you are a prophet. Not because you are a minister. Not because of any anointing fire you feel. The anointing that will go take us to the rapture. There are people that will be feeling that fire on earth here in the Pentecostal. They will not go. The anointing that we are hoping for in our baptism, Holy Ghost baptism program, is the anointing that pierces through the flesh to the soul.
that will not make me be on fire only, that will set my heart also on fire for God. That's why he said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure, because many are called, few are chosen. Let's bow down our heads. Just bow down your heads. Just take 2 minutes and think about your life, your spiritual life. If he comes now, hey, will I be among? This anointing I have, I hope it's not just my spirit man and my flesh. I hope I am in the number saved by grace. I stay so long to talk, but it's necessary. The rapture has begun. This the closing days of time. What joy, a glorious hope affords. Soon, all wondrous truths of life, it shall reign. King of kings, Lord of lords, is coming soon. Is coming soon. Rejoice, we welcome his return. Message is coming soon. The bride, we're not even talking about his coming soon. We already know he has started coming. The door will soon be closed.